This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Hey, praise God. Today, Thanksgiving is coming this week. I'm going to share a Thanksgiving message, as I usually do around Thanksgiving time. Yeah, I always find, I don't know why, but the Thanksgiving message, one of the more difficult messages to give. I think maybe it's because in our own hearts, you know, Thanksgiving is not something that we express just naturally unto God. It's something that's foreign to us. So even when we look at the topic, there's a part of it that feels just foreign to us. So today, as we go to, you know, as we're looking at the idea of Thanksgiving, I want to read from Romans chapter 1. I know as those who know Romans 1 would probably be wondering how this chapter has anything to do with Thanksgiving, but I hope, you know, by the end of, you know, just my sharing, hopefully God will speak to us just through His Word and through His Spirit. Yeah, we're going to just Romans chapter 1, just starting with verse 18. Okay, yeah, so I'll read. Okay, so it's Romans 1, starting with verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men, and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but are also approve of those who practice them. And I just want to read chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, O do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? So I'm just going to pray for us, and then we can look at God's Word. Heavenly Father, God, I thank You, God, for this day. I thank You, God, for Your faithfulness, God. I thank You, God, for Your love for us. Holy Father, Lord, I thank You, God, for what Sam shared and what Sister Funmi shared as well, God. the reason why we have your word, God, is not for us just to listen and to hear something or even to be excited about something. It is for our lives to bring glory to you, O God. And so even as we look at your word, God, if it does not mold our hearts, God, and change our minds, O God, if it does not lead to some change in us, God, that brings glory to your name, Holy Father, that ultimately this time that we spend before you is a fruitless time, O God. Holy Father, God, joy in our hearts, God, is good. But you have given us your word, God, not for ourselves, God, so that we may be sanctified, so that you may joy in us, O God. And that is the ultimate purpose, God, that you have given us your word, not mainly for our joy, but for your joy when your children walk in your truth. I pray, Holy Father, as we look at your word right now, that you would bring life and truth to us, that you begin to turn our hearts unto you and to move us in the ways of God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so I just want to start with verse 29. It says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. Gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And so, you know, one of the things is, you know, in our hearts, a lot of times, you know, when we look at the world around us and we begin to see the wickedness in the world that we live, and sometimes you can even, you know, if you're listening to the news or just reading the news, and just especially now in our world where the things that are happening in this world and the evil things that people are doing to each other, it's just so readily available. You know, and one of the things is that we think, when we look at and hear about all these things, we think that this is the great travesty of this world. And in our hearts, we think, how is it possible that those who were created by God to bear his image, can do things that are just so wicked and so senseless? You know, and as it says here, as, you know, Paul says here, is that, you know, man, they even invent new ways of doing evil things. You know, and so we really think, you know, this is, and when we look at this world and we are always surprised, you know, how can man, you know, there are things that man does that we don't even think it's possible for these things to even to enter the mind of man. And how can man have become so wicked? And we think that, you know, this is the great travesty of this, you know, in this world, is how corrupted and how evil man has become. But one of the things that Paul is sharing here, you know, in this passage, is that this is not the great travesty that's found in this world. Paul says that the great, great travesty that is found in this world is not, it is not what man is doing. Paul says that's just a symptom of something even greater. The great travesty of what is happening in this world is that man no longer acknowledges God as God. And so that's the main thing that Paul is saying here, is that Paul is saying here that these are just outworkings. The real great travesty in this world is that man no longer acknowledges God as God. And really what Paul is saying in this passage, he goes over and over again, is that, you know, even in where he says, he uses things like a debased mind. And he says, or a depraved mind, a debased mind, what it means is that a mind that was supposed to have a certain kind of quality, its quality has actually been reduced. That the mind that God had given to man, which was supposed to be at a certain kind of level, has actually been reduced. But Paul says, you know, it's not in these things that we should mourn. What we should mourn is the fact that man no longer acknowledges God as God. Because the main thing that Paul is sharing in this passage to the Romans church is that the reason why we have become less, why we as humanity have become less, why the things that we do to each other and things that we did not even think was possible for one man to do to the other, all of this lessening starts, Paul is saying in this passage, in one place. It starts and it begins in the place of reducing God to less than he is. So that's the main thing that Paul is sharing this passage, is that he says the reason why we see a lessening of man, it all begins with a lessening of God. And Paul is saying is that when man reduces God to less than he is, then God, through his judgment, makes man less than he is. Does that make sense? And so when we say, when we do not glorify God as God or acknowledge God as God, and we reduce God to less than he is, God will never allow us to reach the top of who we can become in him. And what he does in punishment says, okay, you want to make less of me, I will make less of you. And so everything that we see and the brokenness that we see in man right now, what we should ultimately mainly mourn is that when we see this, you know, a lot of times our hearts want to mourn for man. When we see the wickedness, is how can man be so evil? But Paul is saying through this passage, what we should do is not mourn for man, we should mourn for God. Because all of this is happening because man no longer keeps God where God is and no longer glorifies God as God. And everything that we see in society today, the reduction of man, of us becoming lesser and less than we were supposed to be, is because we have made God less than he is. And so Paul here, you know, in this passage, he talks about, you know, the different ways in which we make God less than he is. In verse 23, he says, you know, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And so Paul says, you know, this is one of the ways in which you reduce God to less than he is. It is through idolatry. And a lot of times we will say, you know, what's the big deal? You know, we have our religion. You know, some people worship God in this way. Other people worship God in this other way. But Paul says here that even the form of idolatry, it is an insult, a very direct insult to who God is. Because ultimately Paul is saying that God has no limits and God is not corrupted. And anytime you take something, whatever it is and whatever image that you make, Paul says it is in that very nature. It doesn't matter what image you are making, that very thing that you make will both be corrupted and will be limited. And again, what is Paul saying is that even in idolatry, it is an insult to God because you're taking an infinite God, a glorious God who has no boundaries, who cannot be limited by anything in this world, and saying that taking all of that and creating something so limited and saying this is God. And so Paul says we reduce God in idolatry. But in verse 26, you know, Paul also says, you know, he says that because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. In some other passages, it says desires. You know, this is the other way, you know, Paul says here that we reduce God to less than he is we believe that God, in all his glory, does not have the ability to satisfy us. You know, we don't believe that God, in all his limitless glory, has the ability to satisfy us. And so this is the other thing that Paul says, is that, you know, when we do not believe that this infinite God, this limitless God, has the ability to satisfy us fully, he will allow us to go and to try to find that satisfaction in lesser things. And so that's the other thing that Paul is saying here. He said, if we truly understood the glory of the awesome God that Paul is saying is so plain, we will understand innately that every part of our being can be fully satisfied by this God. But it is when we do not acknowledge him or and in our lives fully hold him to the place that he should hold, and we do not truly acknowledge all that he is, we come to a place where we are saying, God, you cannot satisfy every part of my being. And when we lessen God and we say, God, and even when we acknowledge and look for satisfaction in other things, we're saying, God, you cannot truly satisfy me. And when we go to God and say, God, you cannot fully satisfy me, God allows us to go and to try to find that satisfaction in those things that God knows will not satisfy us, God knows will bring pain to us. But he says, okay, fine. You do not think that I can satisfy. You don't think the glory that I possess and all that I am, the fullness of who I am, can satisfy me. Go ahead, go look for it in other things. See if you find it in those things. And so that's the other thing, is just that, you know, the thing that I want to say is that every issue that comes into our lives, real issues that comes into our lives, comes from this place where we do not acknowledge God as God. And for us as Christians, a lot of the problems that we have is that we're not idol worshipers. We're not going and worshiping idols and making God into animals. We know that, as Stephen says, that even the heavens cannot hold and contain the glory of God. But what is the lessening that we do as followers of Jesus Christ is that we do not believe that Jesus and God can fully satisfy us. And so even though we acknowledge God in some ways, we still look for our satisfaction in other things. And the one thing that I want to say is that most of the issues that comes in our life comes because we lessen God, do not believe God can satisfy us, and begin to look at it in other things. And the things that Paul says here is that those are not things that are even bad things. You know, Paul talks about, you know, the passions of other men. Man is created in the image of God. There is nothing in this world that is created in the image of God. But even in that, when we begin to look for that only, that those things that only man can, only God can give to us, when we look for those things in man, you know, in whatever way it is, even in those things, what will happen is that we will come out broken in those things. And so that's the other thing that Paul is saying here. He said, truly, if we worship God as God, we will fully look for our satisfaction in him alone, knowing that he can fill every part of ours, and we don't need to look for lesser things to satisfy these things. And Paul is saying here, the reason why we look to lesser things is because we do not believe that the greater God is enough for us. And the other thing is, you know, just as, you know, for the Thanksgiving message that I just want to share here is, you know, in verse 21, the thing that Paul says is, he says, so I'm just going to read verse 21. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, Paul says, you know, one of the other ways in which we reduce God and make him less than he is, and then God allows us to become less than he intended for us to be, is when we are not thankful. And so when you read this verse, and I just want to just share that, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. And so Paul begins to make a very, you know, a distinction there. Now, one of the things that Paul says here is that, you know, he talks about glorifying God as God. You know, this is just the ability for us to see God in all of creation, right? You know, when we look at the heavens and the earth around us, You know, when we see the glory of God in all the things around us, there is an acknowledgement of God in those things. But Paul goes on to say here, nor were thankful. So it's not just seeing the invisible hand of God in all of creation. Thankfulness has something that is more, right? It is seeing that in the invisible hand of God in our personal lives. And so that's the thing that Paul is saying, is that when we reduce God, when we do not acknowledge God, what we also begin to do is that we begin not to see God's hand in our lives. And so that's the other thing that I want to say, is that, you know, the reason why also that we, you know, thanksgiving is something that is very foreign to us, the reason why we're not thankful in our lives, often in our lives, is because even God's invisible hand that is all over our life, we do not acknowledge it. You know, all the things that God has done in our lives from the beginning, from the day that we were born, in the ways in which He molded us, molded our minds, molded our hearts, brought so much into our lives. You know, when we begin not to acknowledge those things in our lives, you know, what ultimately happens is that we begin to lack thanksgiving in our lives. And so that's the thing that Paul is saying here, is that if we do not have a heart today as we're in the presence of God that is thankful, it is also Paul saying, is because we have not acknowledged God as God. Because if we had truly known God as God, if we had truly seen His invisible hand in our lives, in every part of our life, you know, in the ways in which He has provided for us, provided homes for us, provided jobs for us, provided a family for us, provided fellowship for us, you know, but, you know, even as we go past that, as He has provided Himself for us, as He has revealed Himself to us, you know, it is in those, Paul says, is that, you know, when we do not acknowledge these things, and we say, we, even when these things, Paul says, are so plain, so clear, that it is so obvious that it is God that did these things for us, but we begin to lessen God, you know, because, you know, one of the things that, you know, that I say is that idolatry, you know, the tricky thing with idolatry is that we begin to look at idolatry always as this statue or this thing, but the greatest idolatry that exists in us is a desire to worship ourselves. And so a lot of times in our life, rather than looking at something and saying, God, and acknowledging, God, You did this, looking at the job that we have and say, God, there was no way that I could have this job, but through Your great mercy, You gave me the ability to have this job. God, when we look at our families, when we look at our children, saying, God, all of this is just a gift from You. When we look at salvation and saying, God, there is no reason that I deserve to have You in my life, God, it is only because of You. There was nothing that I can do to attain You, but it is only because of Your great mercy in my life that I even have fellowship with You. Everything that we have, it is in this acknowledgement of God. But what we do is that when we lessen God, when we no longer acknowledge God, and we say God had nothing to do with any of this thing, it's not a pure atheism which says that there is no God, but it is in our own lives, there is a part of us that does not fully acknowledge God. So it's not a, so the thing that Paul is saying is that it's not a complete, the worst thing that we can do is to say that there is no God at all. But Paul says degrees of this is still in our lives. We do not say there's no God at all, but in this thing, we say God didn't play any part in it. You know, I got this job because I worked hard, I have this thing because of myself, is that it is not that we fully say that there is no God. It is a degree in our lives where certain things in our lives that we should acknowledge God, where we should be acknowledging God as God, we're not acknowledging God. And so that's true in all of our lives today. And so if we are in the presence of God today, and we do not have a heart that is thankful unto God, it means it's not that we do not acknowledge God as Creator, but there are still parts of our life where we do not acknowledge God. You know, so let me ask you, you know, that question. Do we acknowledge God for everything that God has given to us? You know, when with Jesus, we see that even when he's breaking bread, he gave thanks to the Father before he broke the bread. It wasn't just that he thought in his mind, okay, you know, just this is bread. Someone handed this bread to me. You know, so someone gave me this bread, but he knew that it was, that bread came from the very hand of God. And so he blessed God for it. And so we see that God, Jesus always, even before he's partaking of the Passover meal, he gives thanks for that juice and that bread. You know, and so there is an acknowledgement, God, you gave me this food today. You know, do we do that in our life? Because the one thing that I want to say to us as a body is that we may not be, you know, we may not be there where we are not, we're not saying, okay, God, you did nothing. There is no God, you did nothing for me. But there are still levels and layers in our life where we as his children did not acknowledge that it was the hand of God alone that did these things for us. And so that's why when we come together before God, it's hard for us to acknowledge God and to be thankful to God. We look at ourselves and we say, oh, you know, my life is not where it should be. You know, I don't have, God didn't give me this one thing. But when we begin to acknowledge God, we will always come into the presence of God thankful, because where there is one thing God did not give to us, there is 30 things God did give to us. You know, God, there's always so much more that God gave to us in our lives than the one thing that he did not give to us. And a heart of thankfulness will always weigh the two and know that there's so much more to be thankful to God, to be thankful to God than the one thing that God has, you know, has not given to us because of his wisdom, as Toby shared. And so, you know, the last thing that I want to say is, you know, in chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? And so the last thing that I just want to share here is that, you know, the Paul says what? He says that when we do not thank God as God, what happens? There's a reduction of us, right? We become lesser beings. And so that what we see in this world right now, you know, we have to always, when we look at these things, we have to look at it and say, and we see the brokenness of this world, we have to mourn and say, God, this world has made you less than it is. And this is why we are less than we are today. But one of the things that Paul says is that if that is true, right? So this is one of the thing that Paul says is that if this is true, that when man makes less of God, you know, does not acknowledge God as God and makes less of him, if that leads to man becoming less than he is because God makes him less than he is, Paul is saying ultimately that the opposite is also true, right? Paul is saying that the opposite is also true. Man makes less of God than he is, he becomes less than he God intended him to be. But what happens when man begins to acknowledge God in all that he is, all that he has done? What does Paul say? Paul says, and then God begins to elevate man to his glory. And so that's the thing that Paul says in chapter 2, verse 4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? So Paul is saying is that when we begin to acknowledge God's kindness to us, when we begin to acknowledge God's patience and love for us, when we begin to become aware of all that God has done for us in our lives, even though these are things that we do not deserve in our lives, the thing that Paul says is what happens here. Paul says that God will begin to mold his image into us. He says, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. And so he's saying that it's not just that you know, we'll look at the goodness of God and say, wow, okay, thank you, God. So it's not just that we begin to acknowledge God with our lips. Paul says what happens is that our lives begins to become completely transformed when there is an acknowledgement of God in our lives. He says that in verse 4, he says that, you know, he says that God's kindness, when we become aware of God's kindness and God's goodness, and we become overcome by that goodness, he says that it leads us to repentance. And so the things that we used to do in our lives, God's goodness, and when we are aware of God's character and how much he has done for us, Paul says that we will begin to turn away from these things. We will be so thankful, and that thankfulness will begin to mold us and to turn us to have God's image in us. Does that make sense? And so, you know, what does that mean? What that ultimately means is this. You know, what that ultimately means is this, is that Thanksgiving, it's not something that we give with our lips. And this is just the last thing that I want to share with us, is that Thanksgiving is ultimately not something that we give with our lips. It's something that we live with our lives. So how does God know that we are thankful? How does God ultimately know that we are thankful? Because he sees because of the life that we live. You know, this is the thing that, you know, Paul is ultimately saying, how does God know that we are thankful, is ultimately with the life that we live. Because if we are truly thankful for the cross and thankful that God purchased righteousness through his son for us, Paul says that that thanksgiving will lead us to repentance and a turning away from our sinful ways, and we will desire to pursue God's righteousness. If we are truly thankful with, you know, in our life that God has given to us all of his riches, even his own son, what will that mean? It'll mean that we will have a desire to give what God has given to us to others. You know, if we are truly thankful that for God's hospitality, that even though we were strangers unto God, foreigners unto God, but God brought us into his kingdom and called us the sons and daughters of God, what that will ultimately mean is that we will have a heart of hospitality, that we will welcome strangers into our home and say, come into my home. And so Paul is ultimately saying is that that the way that we know that we have truly acknowledged God's goodness in every part of our life is that we will begin to reflect those things in our own lives. You know, I just want to conclude just with these, you know, just these two thoughts and these two questions is, you know, number one, you know, the question that I want to ask all of us is, are there areas in our life today where we're not acknowledging God? Are there parts of our life today that we never acknowledge God? Are there areas in our life where we've never said, thank you, God, for this thing? Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, mainly for your son. Are there areas in our lives where we have not acknowledged God? Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for your generosity, that you have called me as sons and daughters of God. Are there areas in our life, number one, where we did not acknowledge God today? Number two, has that acknowledgement and thanksgiving unto God led to true transformation in our life, where we are truly reflecting with our lives that we are thankful unto God? Because Paul says there is only one way that we tell God that we are thankful. It is not with our mouths. It is in every part of our life reflecting the goodness of God. So let me ask you this. Are you reflecting God's goodness in your life through a life of thanksgiving? What if I was to ask you, you know, in what ways are you reflecting God's goodness in your life? What would you say to me? Are you opening your home to those who are less fortunate as God has opened his home to us? Are we giving to the needs of the poor? When we were foreigners of God, God gave us the riches of his glory to us. Are we opening our hearts to the needs of our community, even if it's not through money, just through going to them and spending time with them, reflecting God's goodness as God has given himself to us and has given himself to us through the fellowship of his Spirit. Are we thankful for the fellowship of God's Spirit because we have a desire to go out to a world that has been abandoned, to a world that is lonely, and to give to them the fellowship of God's children? All of these things, Paul says in this passage, is the ways in which we, God sees in us, whether we have truly acknowledged God and whether we are truly thankful. He says words are not enough. And so that's just the last thing that just I want to share with us, is that when we look at this world outside of this building right here, outside of the Freddy's home, and we see the world has become completely corrupted, and we like to shake our heads, as Toyin said, and look at the sin of this world and say, how can this world become so sinful? You know, we see this outside of us, this complete corruption, but when we look inside into this body of Christ, we have to ask ourselves the other question. If we have truly acknowledged God, has the fullness of the true life of God come into us in every way? That is the opposite of a world that does not acknowledge God. A world that acknowledges God reflects his image in every way, in every part of life, Paul says through this passage. And that is how we know that we are truly thankful. And so I just want to just pray for us, and then you know, we can go into the next part. Heavenly Father, God, I want to pray for us today, O God. Heavenly Father, God, I know that even as we come before you, God, there is brokenness within our lives, O God, that does not allow me to speak this message in its clarity, O God, and for the people here to hear it in its clarity, God. Both those things are true, O God, because there is corruption within us, O God. But Holy Father, God, I pray that you would teach us, God, the true acknowledgement of you, true thanksgiving. It's not words that are spoken, it is a life that is lived. Holy Father, as this world has rejected you, and in its rejection of you has rejected your image in them, I pray that as we acknowledge you in all things, that you will grow in us and build in us your image, O God. I pray that we would have that desire in every way, O God. I thank you, Holy Father God, for that image that is already here, O God. Lord, I want to thank you, God, that even, Lord, as we are here today, God, we acknowledge, Lord, that Freddie and Sam, God, opens this home to us, O God. The food that we are going to partake of later this today, God, I pray that the people would know that it is the image of God in people within this group that allows us to partake of that food, O God. That because they are thankful for the goodness of God in their life, they desire to thankfully share that goodness. Holy Father, I pray for, Lord, what Paul says, the goodness of God, Holy Father, leads to repentance, O God. Lord, we can say 1,000 times, O Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for bearing my sins upon the cross. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But may we know that these are only empty words, O God, until we repent and turn away from our sins. It is true thanksgiving is reflected in our lives when we say, Jesus, you gave yourself for my righteousness. Even though I did this thing, you gave your life. May I never do that thing again. Holy Father God, righteousness, Holy Father, is again thankfulness, O God. Holy Father God, may we know that we cannot be a generation that says we are thankful for the cross unless the righteousness of God enters our lives, O God. Every time we say thank you, and continue to do the things that are displeasing to you, God will know that there is no thankfulness in our hearts. I thank you, Holy Father God, for this body of believers, O God. Lord, the greatest thing that we have in our lives to be thankful for is you, O God. Lord, in our lives, God, we can look at our homes, we can look at other things that you have given to us, O God, our jobs and our families, God, but the greatest gift that you have given to us is your Son, O God, your very self, O God, and that is what joins us together today, O God. I pray, Holy Father, that our lives would reflect that we are thankful for him, that we are truly thankful for what he has done for us, O God, that we would desire to glorify him in every way, O God. Heavenly Father, continue to mold us until the perfection of God is found in us. Lord, I want to just pray for all of us today, God. If we are here today, God, and have been looking for our satisfaction and our fullness in other things other than Jesus Christ, may we know that it will only lead to emptiness, O God. Lord, as Paul says here, God, and they receive in themselves the punishment due them, that when we look for what only God can give to us in other things, it will only lead to pain. But when we seek those things in God alone, we will find joy and satisfaction in our lives. And if there are any among us, God, that have been seeking our satisfaction in things that are not God, I pray that you would turn us to you, God. Lord, for us men, a lot of times it is in our careers that we desire to seek our fullness and our satisfaction. May we repent of it, God. Lord, as women, often we seek to find our satisfaction in men. May we know that all man is limited, all man is corrupted. Only Jesus Christ can give to us what our hearts need. I pray that if there are those here that have looked for their satisfaction in man when they should have looked unto God, may you give us hearts of repentance as well. I thank you for this time, O God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.